May all sentient beings enjoy happiness and the causes of happiness. This is supposed to, this verse, it's, in the first line is to think about four immeasurable bodhicitta in aspiration of bodhicitta, four immeasurable, first immeasurable, it's compassion. That means we would like each of every sentient beings enjoy their temporary happiness. And the second line is the cause of happiness. May they be free from suffering and the cause of suffering, because happiness and suffering is happiness is the antidote of suffering. So cause of happiness is an antidote of cause of suffering. So then the second immeasurable thoughts or aspiration is loving kindness. In English words, I don't think this is a very loving kindness, compassion. There's a particular kind of use normally for happiness and the cause of happiness, or suffering and the cause of suffering, these kind of term of meaning. But for these four aspiration, four immeasurable aspirations contain this content in Buddhist terminology. And then it's made, they'll never be separated from the great happiness devoid of suffering. And this is a immeasurable rejoice. That is your wish and aspiration. You wanted to help sentient beings to achieve from not only temporary worldly happiness, but also fundamental the roots of take out of or understand the cause of happiness, and then beyond of, if you want to say, leave free from causes of suffering, then means the relative world have afflicted kind of a emotion and thoughts, then beyond all cause of causes of suffering is impossible in worldly kind of realm. So then the liberation involves achieve Buddhahood or Arhat or Bodhisattva, different stages or ground of Bodhisattva, realization of Bodhisattva. Then you every one who think they are in path of Mahayana, then our ground, the name of Bodhisattva is to wish others be happy and achieve kind of a stimulus of happiness or beyond of suffering and the cause of suffering. That is reach finally was Buddhahood. So then any other sentient beings without your help or any kind of relation, temporary relation with you, but they are doing great in progress of spirituality or temporary material kind of possessions or any good collecting good deeds, they're doing good deeds or become wealthy, famous, or any other those things, you should kind of rejoice. If they use those wealth or name in doing bad things, of course we shouldn't rejoice. Otherwise, if you rejoice others' virtue, then you also share the same kind of merit. Similarly, if you rejoice others' negative actions, then also if there's a fighting or somebody hurt or anything like that, you feel good or something, then it's a negative rejoice. And for negative karma, if you regret, then you will kind of clean or change your negative karma. You will remove the obstacles, obstacles that you planned in karma. Similarly, if you say opposite or say any virtuous activities that you've done, if you regret for that, then also your virtuous kind of accumulation also decrease. So the third line is the rejoice of immeasurable rejoice. And then fourth one, and may they dwell in the great equanimity that is free from attachment and aversion. It's about equanimity, that also means the emptiness. Also, they're using different terminology to describe level of understanding of emptiness. And then free from attachment, because without properly understand emptiness, we may going to have a wrong view and get wrong experience. So, for example, people may misunderstood the confidence and some kind of arrogant, and also love and attachment. Love is kind of a free. You are supporting or serving others, but attachment have a sense of owning or possession, kind of a control, or these kind of a mood or motivations. And arrogant is more kind of I'm the best, that kind of feeling. But the self-confidence that can based on sincerity and also a sense of humble in they know or they don't know, or they're capable to do it or not, are more honest and also can go up and down at the same time. They are not bothered by emotion. But arrogant, if you there is a big ego, then it's kind of arrogant. So similarly, there is a possibility of a misunderstood over the emptiness, and not falling into any of the other afflictions. So first we're going to dwell in these four aspirations. And then now we're the part of Majjhimagga tradition or middle way school that is held by Shantideva, and of course originally from Buddha, the Panchaparamita Sutra, and the different versions or different Panchaparamita Sutra. Some are very thick and 10,000 verses or 25,000 verses of Panchaparamita Sutra, and also 8,000, and some are very simple version. It's some are part of the bigger collection, like the Heart Sutra, only 250-60 words. And also in ancient time in India, there are various of traditions. Some said there are, in India, there are more than 360 different kind of type of so-called round view. And also 62, the, how to say, categorized to in 62 views, or five, Tarkov school, or five different views, and also can limit, can more, combine these five or six to two categories. One is, eternalism, and one is nihilism, and or you can put those two in one. It's called tetika. Tetika in its Sanskrit words. Last time I didn't check, but after that is the words means non-Buddhist view. And in Tibetan we say martaba or shirupa, like two type of means. And then in general, those terms are not negative words. If you say wrong view, then it's a kind of more negative. What is right? What is wrong? In different philosophical schools, they have a different explanation and positions. But if you say mustaba or shuba, that is just the same. One is a more Buddhist way. One is the other views. It like put in categories of other views, other followers or other views. And also, Kamta is the view of different philosophical schools that is in Tibetan terms and also in Sanskrit terms. It is Jhanta is saying people who wanted to accomplish authentic views or theory, then according to their systematic kind of explanation and knowledge, they thought this is edge or the knowledge edge of the great kind of no more further kind of a development or this is a final or ultimate meaning in this different way to explain. But in the saying each, if we say some kind of views, philosophical views, it's not kind of simply direct experience. You have to have a reason and logics, explanations. If people ask you, you should have the answer, explanation. Otherwise, it's kind of feeling that become not to view. You feel warm and cold, then this is not a view. This is just a feeling. But if people say why you felt why you say this hot or chilly or cold, then you say because today and yesterday and the winter time in last year or today's temperature raising some which is high, and if you from give some explanation, then you start in building some kind of a very simple. Like if what's it called? Views. And then Buddhist and non-Buddhist between, there are a lot of relationship in ancient Indian tradition. some people believe Buddhism are the product of ancient Indian the rich cultural heritage and the philosophical traditions. And we share many terminologies and many kind of way of a cultural aspect of the understanding, and including even many images of many celestial beings and also bodhisattvas. These have been shared similar, kind of holding some same symbol or riding some animals or these images you also can see. And also some mantra or use the ancient language of Sanskrit and Brahmin language, and also one is called Gupta scriptures, and also Devanagari scriptures. And those are the early kind of Sanskrit words who write in those form of scriptures. And also those development of a Tibetan language and other many Central Asian languages also related to Sanskrit words. In Southeast Asia, they were using Pali language. So in this, we have many common in this. But in Buddhist tradition, we have also very clear view of we have a non-Buddhist and Buddhist have a very different kind of approach and different systematic kind of explanation, philosophical traditions. So any alluding to eternalism or nihilism, then we consider those are not the Buddhist view or the pure Buddhist kind of approach. Those are extreme. You said there's a in Buddhist philosophical tradition, there are already four schools that we already explained in previous time. But I will give you some few what is a Buddhist and non-Buddhist this kind of idea we were going to share a little bit. And one Tibetan master, quite a famous scholar, his name is Gongchun Jinmei Wangpo. He said, a person who is a proponent of a tenet does not go for refuge to the three jewels and asserts that there is a perfect other teacher other than the three jewels. Generally, those are for kind of general audience. You say, what is a Buddha and non-Buddhist, a Buddhist and non-Buddhist? You will say, oh, people who take refuge to the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, Buddha, Shakyamuni, and also kind of his teaching and of his followers, then this is a Buddhism, a Buddhist. And if you take refuge towards Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, then you consider you are Buddhist. And then this is easy to say, but internally, if you want to say, "Oh, I don't know about any specific idea about Buddhism and the views, these actions, or." Any of the kind of teachings, but just my own interest of those image And my friends or family are because of they are Buddhist, so I'm thinking I'm Buddhist, but I don't know much. In that consider they are also Buddhist. Of course, you can say appearingly or looks they are Buddhist. So, but internally you may find out they don't know anything. So you cannot say that they are kind of proper. Or full of perfect kind of way to claim they are Buddhist. But internally, how you say it, then it's said, if you accept the all compound things are impermanent, and all emotions are suffering, or all afflictions are suffering, and then there are no kind of essential existence of any intrinsic nature, and nirvana beyond any conceptions, conceptual elaboration, or not, nirvana, which is beyond of description, you can say that. And also you can say nirvana is the beyond of a relative world. Then this is a called, if you understand these, then you consider you as a view from view of your you have a view of a Buddhist kind of way of view. If you don't agree all things are compound, then one or layers of a view is not there. If you don't agree or afflicted kind of emotions, these are kind of core roots of the suffering, then second. And if you think we have a strong, solid, independent, remaining, long-lasting identities of things and this person, this any phenomenon, there has a kind of their own standing nature of a reality there, of these kind of a solid independent things, then if, whether you believe God or you believe kind of eternal anything material, then you are not can consider as a kind of a one of the understanding of a Buddhist what's called of the suffering and the nirvana, samsara and the nirvana. Then fourth is there is a way to go beyond. So these are also related to formable truth, this kind of suffering. There are three type of suffering, and physical and emotional suffering, and the suffering of change, age, or the constant kind of impermanence. And then the fundamental misunderstanding, or we can say awakened, and then lost mind, but it's confused. Still have some kind of layer of a confusion. You are not properly kind of waking in the mind. Then it's considered third kind of roots of the suffering. And then the cause of suffering, of course, everything has a cause. Then you should find the Four Noble Truths and the 16, each Four Noble Truth has four cause and the resultant kind of relations. And then from this you will see there's a possibility to cultivate and then to reverse or the go beyond of the suffering. Then it's that's called the you can achieve moksha or liberation, or you can achieve Buddhahood. And then the method, and then this is the Four Noble Truths of suffering, cause of suffering, and the cessation and path. And then for these, this is a view part. And then action is said, if you believe any worldly gain or for any kind of interested of, about anything. You use name of God, or you use name of human being, or you use a name of a country or nationalities or relative kind of the community identities. If you use any kind of reason, say, then let's see, your aim is harming others. If you use these words, but you have a basic understanding, some of people have no understanding about human, how do you say, basic normal conceptual common kind of understanding is not there. So then, like illness, people who have psychological problems, these are exception. Otherwise, if you are normal and you have a sense of the sensible person, then you shouldn't harm other sentient beings as much as you can. If you are, we are not saying you're absolutely not harming any sentient beings. We cannot very few people, or we can say, I'm not sure how few, but the majority of people cannot do without any slight harm living like that. But we'll have a holding this view. We say, we try to reduce the harmful as much as possible. Even we have a dream to non-harming kind of any sentient beings. For this, you put effort in action, like Bodhisattva's kind of way of life. In you practice these and you try to kind of cultivate this, then you consider yourself as a, in action, you are kind of having Buddhist kind of the elements of these, from view action part of the, we consider this is a Buddhist. This is called view of interdependent origin, interdependent rising. View of the interdependent rising, that the in other words, saying that is understand shunyata, emptiness, and then actions of non-violence or harmless, pursuing harmless action. That is a view and action. Then consider you are a follower of Buddhist teaching. That also saying. You are following view of wisdom, not gone too extreme, and action of compassion, view of a deep view, vast the action, compassionate action. So these are general if you say Buddhist and non-Buddhist, this idea. I will read some other definitions of Wento. Of course, I usually say traditionally, Tertika or non-Buddhist views refers to many philosophical traditions in the of Indian, ancient Indian, other than Buddhist one. You may already knew these different traditions, like already said, Sangha. Sangha is a very, very vast and spread in India. Very, and Vaisheshika, one is Mimamsaka, and Jainism is still there, and also pretty much closer to Buddhist, but there are also categories of eternalism, and the Charvaka is the, they don't believe of past life, future life, karma, and many of these achieving beyond of suffering. These, they only accept the, what is the kind of direct experience of they accept like a sign scientific approach of normal nowadays, most people accept science as a seeing the reality of a direct experience. For these, Charvaka is nihilism. We can say, if you know evidence, you don't accept that kind of way in a material use, a material phenomenon. For example, if you say you have a mind, you say, oh, I am going to provide any laboratory evidence is very difficult. If you use like a separate the mind, consciousness are just kind of merging from four elements. It said water, earth, fire, and air, or heat on air energies. These are also said in Charvaka. So these are ancient, more than 2,000 years, 2,000 before Buddha is there teaching Dharma. So these tradition already exist. So non-believer is not something new, but it's a very ancient time. There is a group of followers of these traditions. So then, I'm going to read this as a Mepang Rinpoche's, his state, in his, book. One is called The Gateway to the Knowledge. Although, non-Buddhist view, that's called Tathagatas, have many different beliefs, when condensing to the roots of all of them, there are two. Proponents of eternalism and proponents of nihilism. Some people say it's a nihilism. Yeah, I think my pronunciation in many words may not correct. The proponents of nihilism believe that either the self, time, or merely is creator of, believe that either or the self, time, and almighty is the creator of the entire world. Yeah, this is eternalism, yes. They hold that this creator is permanent. The opponents of nihilism claim that present world originated by itself without cause, such as a past karma, that consciousness occur suddenly from the four elements, and that since it has discontinued at the time of death, it is pointless to exert oneself to the path in order to achieve liberation. All of these are, however, proponents of the existence of self, this Atma. And then another one is in commentary, this is also from Mepang Rinpoche, in his commentary to Shantarashita, which is a person, one great scholar, monk, who came to Tibet to spread Dharma. His ornament of middle way, he further explained how all these views come down to one common denominator, because all these worldly paths are proceeded from the point of view of the ordinary mind, which is sees only partially and also concomitant with the beginless convergent ignorance. In last analysis, they all come down to one thing, that assertion the session of a truly existent entity. So it's a kind of a, if you elaborate, there are a lot of discussions and many theories about the what is different other traditions, nihilism or existentialism or the eternalism, nihilism. They are not a simple subject, very complex, very difficult one, or some also. In Nagarjuna's words, that to say it is a conception of permanence. To say it is not is a view of nihilism. Therefore, the learned should dwell in neither existence nor non-existence. So if you say exist or non-exist, these two are the, one is extreme, permanence, and one is nihilism, non-existence. So not to go those two extreme, to age or to verge of the extreme. And also, Buddha said in King of Samadhi Sutra, existence and non-existence are extremes. Purity and impurity are extreme as well. Thus, having relinquished both extremes, the wise do not dwell even in the middle. That means that there has a no kind of real middle. It's emptiness. There have a kind of a, you cannot go either those kind of extreme words of yes or no, or exist, non-exist, pure, impure, that it is not. So that's why I said they go beyond the words, beyond our conceptual liberation, and only kind of, how to say, experience, or only when you enlighten, then you have a non-dual kind of a non-dual, also with the understanding of dual and the non-dual, these still have a trap in the dual. So then it's you can say it's a tricky words, but it's a great wisdom actually. It's so that is in Buddhist tradition, you have to gain enough merit and you will understand. That is many people practice, not only for that, but it's a kind of a general way to combine this wisdom and the compassion, all of the from beginning to the end. And in each of these two fruits, accumulations of merit and wisdom, then two accumulations kind of eliminate two obscurations, that is the emotional obscurations and the analytical obscurations, and then there is a true fruition of merit, or fruit the manifestations of Buddha's kind of form of any type of kind of body appearance, and then wisdom accumulation will run beyond of any kind of limitation and these how to say misunderstanding and then clinging ignorance, then it's the shunyata. So there are a lot of these discussions, but we are not going to continue too much. What we want to say is, in the Buddhist community, there are not one view. They have a major four tradition, philosophical traditions, two in Theravadan kind of a follower these traditions, 18, we call them basic vehicle, and two in Mahayana vehicle, or Mahayana tradition. That is, you can say, in the first turning view of Dharma by Buddha, is the first two kind of philosophical view and teaching given by Buddha. And the second turning view of Dharma is the emptiness. And the third is the Buddha nature. So the second and third is the Mahayana part of teaching. So that's why in the book, giving many arguments in some portion of this way of Bodhisattva in refutation, they come to argue with the other tradition what they are holding views, especially Sangya, I think. from the cause and the conditions and also fruitions, and some Sangya followers also believe there is a cause and of course, and the fruition are have a same common conditions, and some have a cause but not effect result. So, and also some result not have a kind of effect by cause. These understanding, but in Buddhist they have a different way to say, to argue with those claims. And this is because, let's see, generally if you study Dharma teachings, and they are always have a one is a more scholarly way to study and one more practical way to study. Those best way to do it is to combine those two. But if without a scholar kind of way of study, can you do Buddhist practice of Buddhism or the teaching of Buddha? Of course you can still. You know, not needed to do a lot of philosophical kind of studies, but you have some fundamental principles that you suitable for you. On including some vowel, taking some vowel of not harming sentient being, not killing or not stealing, anything like that. Or you can say you are having more direct experience. You're not stuck in a theoretical teachings. Theoretical teachings are, there are a lot of those you can study 20 years, 30 years, just for cause of paramita teachings, causal level of teaching. And the Vajrayana teaching, these are, they're very vast also. So these are also the great approach for many people, but not only way or only path you should practice. If you with a good karmic kind of links, karmic connections, you may have some teacher give you essential and instructions that is much easier to understand these philosophical argument. Is also necessary because for human being, they have to, they follow reasons. If they not wish for kind of thinking, but with the reason, more stable and solid kind of understanding is could rise. Even with the epistemology, then it's much more clear and much more convincing. But for other, some people, have this talent, going to kind of understand both of these methods and systematic teachings. And some people have a, for example, if we say, if you, as many people don't like scientific kind of class. Some people extremely love it, those class, dry class, but for most people, they don't like it. They don't like much math, even philosophical teachings. We hardly maybe see much very popular kind of bestseller of philosophical books. There are even Buddhist books available in English version. It's not that popular. And also other tradition, also traditional philosophical books also too. So if you say from philosophy or quantum theories, then it's said world are not as you directly experience those world phenomenon. That is, you may say so, let's see. Third person involvement or observer, I can say. Observer, involvement of the observer can impact the observation, the process of observation. Then, from this point of view, you may, it's an interesting thing, but not having great impact to you, to detach. You have a still worldly attachment and many things very strong, cannot by just theoretically saying world are like a dream and these are not essentially real or there's no kind of a solid things in the existence are mere existence. They are, if you just theoretically understand this, it's some, for some thinker, I think they have a impact, but these impact are taking long time. You have to think deeply, kind of analyze, and then to understand what that real means, then you may get an impact. But just the hearing and maybe many times is kind of not deeply kind of touched. Concept. But the internal kind of some, with the meditation, these, you, if you see your own internal experience, if you capable to look, because external things are so real, we are always in a sensory feelings are more powerful than our kind of analytical rational thinking. So it's difficult to reverse the or change direct perception. It's very difficult. But direct perception, and you don't need so much rational theory, but if you directly look at your own or aware of your own mind, internal, for some people, this is a more kind of unfamiliar part and difficult to may think what this means about look your own mind. But if you get some kind of a guidance and instructions, then you see, understand, there is something, direct experience. So then it's, you have a easier kind of a feel the first-handed kind of feeling or understanding what is the non-existent meaning or not, we can say, you know, how to say, lacking of intrinsic nature. Things appears, but it doesn't mean they are really existed in by their own power of their own, or they have some identity or nature of identity. Nature of identity, that is something we want, which we think or we kind of generally feel they have their own ability to exist, that kind of thinking. So these are, by the experience of practice, they have a very different impact. So then what we are saying is saying, scholar way to study Buddhism, and then the yogic way to practice, these two have to have a both engage in your practice, both side or both way important. Without the scholar way to understand things, for many people it's blind kind of practice, blind belief. For some people lost in the practice, lost in the study and the many different theories, but lacking of anything, any experience and any real kind of internal maturity, then it's difficult. And then in Buddhist, as we said, four different schools, in Madhyamika or middle way schools, they have the concept of eight extremes of conceptual elaboration. That is rising, ceasing, being non-existent, and being permanent, and coming, going, being multiple, being single. So these eight can conclude into four. These four can conclude into two. So two is these excess eternalism and nihilism. Four is, it is not, and it is both right or both wrong, that kind of thinking. So we're going to our class. Last time we were in 158, page 158. What need is, therefore, cause in something that is already real. This may be already real or something. I don't. But then, what need is, there is a, my English reading is terrible, so you should forgive this. What need is, there is a, what need is there, therefore cause in something that's already real? But then, what need is therefore cause in something that does not exist? These are to analyze from the normal conceptual understanding. As a kind of normal human being, and that to see there is a need of a cause or not need of the cause for the creation. So said it's a, like already existed of some kind of creation, and as a eternalism, they will see this as a real one, then real existence, then as long as there is a fruition, then the cause is not already not important. It's still cause is there or not, cause is not there, it's not important. But if you suddenly pick up these lines, you may not understand easily. From Sangya tradition of Sangya philosophy, because we have a same cause and the relation, the effect relation. They have a different, how to say, practices and different way of belief, a way of explanations. In these, because sometimes it's because misunderstanding, it's because of the one is theistic religion, one is non-theistic religion, Buddhist like, and Jainism. And theistic religion, they use different terms, but sometimes it's in certain kind of field, they are using these terms can equal to some non-theistic religions using other terms like cause and effect. So if you use in the Sangha tradition in certain kind of aspect, they can use as a I think we learned before here some. This is said it's the source of the creation, the source of the creator, and also the creation, the phenomenon itself. The creation phenomenon is as a fruition, as a result. The cause is the creator. And the cause is the from Buddhist terminology, the cause of fruition, of course, it's a previous cause. So then they have a different way to say. One is a cause and not a fruition. Not that cause is not lead to that fruition. And then that is saying there is a nature of the kind of a God creation, God, but this is different. And that, and the second one is said it's cause and also it's creation. That is the same. They have a God nature and also creator and creation. Suppose we can say, from theistic religion, human beings have some nature of a God because this is created by him. Or I don't know if it's a him or her, but those. And then it's a creation. This is a creation, but it's not, they are saying, it's not the cause of that. Of course, for creator create everything, but in some traditions they said this is a not creation of a cause, because some logic problems there is some people say, oh, it's kind of old saying, it's a trick, but they're saying God can create, can, if God is capable to do everything, can he create a rock can not hold by himself? If you say yes or no, it's not correct. It's like that. So it's a fruition, but not this saying is not the that cause. And then these are saying is a phenomenon, but it's not the nature of that creator. And then there are different type of practices. Some except a similar kind of Buddhist trade, doing like purifying, using water or giving empowerment, and then some people stopping eating food for a certain time and using fire puja and have an image or statues of these for practice, one's own practice. And these are in common in non-Buddhist and Buddhist tradition. And of course, the content is different because of the way of understanding and view differences. But if you say ritual or performance, many have a similar or kind of you can find elements from each other. Then in Sangya philosophy, there for having say that 25 importance of those. So these concepts, it's important. I mean, if you want to seriously study Sangya tradition and then comparative studies of the Buddhism, then you have to understand these very detailed way. But if you just roughly want to know that essential idea, then you can get from this way of Bodhisattva. There is a mean, the kind of argument points is all of the in this book content is there. So of course there are smart person people there, followers of the Sangha. They have a many reasons and theories, and giving a lot of explanations, so you can kind of study. So we shouldn't, because of there are non-Buddhist view, then we discriminate, or this is also rejected by teachings of a Buddha, said you shouldn't kind of make yourself, your own tradition as of so important, and other traditions look down, or it's kind of a sarcastic to, or using negative words to describe other followers or view of traditions. That is a one kind of vowels we should avoid in Bodhisattva vowels. But actually many people doing that in, but theory differences, view differences, you have to have a reason and a clarification to make points. Then people can kind of analyze, and then they can figure out. It's not kind of a demonize or other traditions, or kind of they didn't say this, but you say they have this and that saying or view, then you kind of create a negative image, like a fossil news, fossil image. These are not allowed. But some people doing that, so understandable. So all of different religious kind of followers, they have they're normal human being, they have their emotion, and many strong beliefs of those religion have a very strong ties to emotion, their own emotion. So like many girlfriend, boyfriend, or husband, wife issues, be there, since there's emotion, then many kind of problems start. Religion also like that. And then what we were saying is if there is a already in the fruition level, then the cause, combined cause, staying cause, because why they say this is because creator is forever, remaining from beginning to the end. Or there is no beginning or end. Or you can say, then how you say that creation remains, creator is not there or something, but in cause and effect, cause or effect, then when something is rising, this is a further kind of downstairs, or there are more discussions you're going to say more. So if there is an nothing existed for them, but then what need to therefore cause of something does not exist. So when something not exists, you don't need the cause for not exist. This is a from one, if you say exist, non-exist, it is already too extreme. For exist, you don't need a cause continue arise, because death fruition is already formed. And if you without, so for this non-existent or isn't, that kind of, it isn't, that kind of nihilism, that point of view, then no need to cause, because it's non-existence. What's the cause need for that? Even through the hundred million causes, no change takes place in non-existent things. For in that state of nothing, how could things occur? And into what should could non-existent things transform? So if you holding up this, it is not nihilism, that kind of a point of view, then all of these other cause cannot make something non-existent become something. You can create nothing, we can, normal experience, what we have is we can put different things, create new things, emerging from two, putting different two elements, third elements or rise, that kind of experience. But we, if you say basic kind of a condition, precondition is non-existence, then what the kind of a cause or many cause cannot make it from nothing or from anything, make nothing to kind of happen. Because if we say many cause can merge new things, actually it's a kind of a from not from nothing to something, but from something to something. So it's a very clear from cause to the fruition, but from cause they only can make fruition some related kind of fruition, cannot make a non-related fruition. So this is one thing. And if you say they have a no nature of existence, then how you can create nature of a non-existent to the existence? Or if you say non-existent and existence just the appearance, non-existent existence can kind of change or merging, transform into kind of form of the existence. Then it said, non-existence have a, if you say appearance and the reality or essential nature of that appearance should have a, some kind of relation. If you cannot make a very contract or contradicted kind of appearances. So already exist and non-exist, it is or it is not, these are already contradicted. So you cannot make use contradicted to kind of make the other contradiction. From exist, you cannot make a non-exist. If there is a non-exist or nothing, then you can make, not, cannot make something from out of it, from nothing. So similarly, and if there nothing or non-existence, there's no appearance, no nature. So how you can make it about from that doing do to make it something happen? It's a kind of not making sense. Since things cannot cause when they are non-existent, when could such a existence things occur? For insofar as the entities do not rise, non-entities themselves will not depart. So this is a continuation of a previous kind of stanza. So it's the same. If you can not non-existence, none or not existent, this, let me see what this word cannot be found yet. Since things cannot come when they are not non-existent. So non-existence, and something is kind of contradicted. Something existed, non-existent. And then, if you put any time frame in putting between non-existent cannot become something. So if you say something exists that is against the non-exist, that time of non-exist. If in the beginning we are saying non-existent, if you not kind of take part from non-existence, then existence is impossible. So it's same theory. Existence cannot suddenly become non-existence. If you follower of the eternalism, then otherwise there should be one nature. There is no two kind of exist and non-exist cannot be contradicted or cannot be used in two terms, two kind of a way, if they can merge in or you, they can without contradictions, without if they can replace one another, then how we why we use two terms and then to differentiate it. So also from their appearance and their nature, there are, if you hold in of the nature of an existence and non-existence, these two things, then it's kind of a existent, non-existent, contradicted. So existing cannot replace non-existent, the same other way around. And also you cannot say one thing merging out of it, non-existent, not merging from existence. Existing also cannot merge in from out of the non-existent, because it's a kind of a no cause, no, there is a no relation between of those two. These are two extremes, so you cannot put together. 70 stanzas on emptiness, wrote by Nagarjuna, also say the similar things. And because he used like if you say exist, then already you are saying that is not being born from something. If you say non-existent, then it's not something born from something. So if you born from something, it's not kind of ever remaining, long lasting, or because of impermanence, they can be seized, they can born. So these are not eternal or nihilism. So when poor people holding nihilism of these, there is no possible to say being born from something. And because of existent, non-existent is contradictory kind of a existence, and they are not either kind of accept each other. They have a no kind of a saying, since there is a no rising kind of, then there is a no ceasing and no kind of a remaining, or you cannot say from beginning to the end and the middle or something like those kind of descriptions, because those are eternal, or there's a nothing. From karma and causality, these how we can define the two extreme. And for some saying, this karma, let's see, there's no impact of three times in three times, then it's nihilism point of view. So, and also, if you say, no need to put in three, let's say, three times in the beginning and the end and the between. Then if, for example, eternalism, you say, what is the cause of a God or creator? What is the cause of him or this creator? How he should, he's so powerful and everything. He's in every kind of a hidden kind of a power or hidden control or in these. So what is the cause of him or creator? Then it's difficult to say anything like that. Nihilism also another round, difficult to put like the three times of a cause and a result, causality, these things. And then there is a sutra also, sutra on the strength of the elephant. That's also said, if there is a nature of self, if all phenomenon has a some kind of a nature, then the Buddha and the other hearers of the Buddha should know, but they didn't find anything like that. So if you think of this from time phrase, frame of time, and then if you said exist, non-exist, these are, can generally we describe things, and then can you say it exists at the same time non-exist, and exist and non-exist, both are wrong, both are not considerable, or both are not, cannot describe in this both. Normally people won't say. Normally people say something is there, something is not, or those two. And then without escape from non-existence, and then these so-called existence cannot have an opportunity to appear or to merge. So exist, if you say exist, that is a kind of a saying non-existent is eliminated. And if you say non-existent, then existence is eliminated by kind of that specific of these describe. And because of these contradicted both, cannot exist at the same time, existed but non-existed in same time. So instead, from that we can say, no, normal human beings who say describing things in the exist or non-existent is kind of a out of a kind of a just a misunderstanding, and then giving some easy kind of a communicate for that, describe labeling things, and then giving those also non and adjectives given to the those phenomenon, and those are communication for communication, and also mere labeling and conceptual kind of communication. Near designation. Yes, that is it. Right. And if none entity is not disappear, non-entity is not disappear, no chance is there for entity to manifest, and the entity cannot be changed into non-entity, entity, for otherwise, it is has a double nature. So this is already explained. Thus, there are no entities, and likewise, there is no ceasing of that same, the same. And therefore, beings, each and everyone, are without origin and never cease. There are no from why do going beyond of two extremes. Here is more essential teaching is saying. So these are in the teaching. Tsongkhapa last time we given this example said he said. Because of appearance, then these kind of a beyond of a eternalism, and because of a non the non-existent kind of understanding. We should go beyond of nihilism. Usually people will say cross. Because of appearance, we should go beyond of non-existence of nihilism. Because of non-appearance, not existent kind of then we've gone beyond of eternalism. But in this, they have a four to eight, and then more kind of a elaboration and comes. So that's why he directly goes to, because of appearance, we should have gone beyond of nihilism, the eternalism, and because of non-existence, we should go beyond of nihilism. So similarly, he also said, we should understand in reality there is a gone beyond of the nihilism, and because of everything phenomenon have a no essential nature, so we should understand the shunyata or the emptiness. It's not empty, but an emptiness is describing their kind of essential qualities, or all appearances has a no, nothing, not possessing any concrete kind of independent things of their own. There's no such a nature like that. Their nature is not having the identity what we apply or usually thinking, suppose there is identity of things of existence. So then, what is the, so then it, all sentient beings, if you go kind of, all sentient beings or all these phenomena are beyond of exist or non-exist, born or cease, that kind of a extreme, as we've said, the coming and going and these one or multi beings, being multi and being one, that kind of extreme. And then without born, well, how you can describe as a cease, born and cease coming kind of contradicted, as we said before, coming and going also same. And one and the multi also same. So since these contradicted words are coming, like one cannot put the, without one cannot describe one, but one cannot change into other one. So these these. So we should understand everything is like a dream. That means we should continue clinging only in this narrative and the narrow kind of views of something exist or non-exist. This only truth that is only kind of a understanding. Go beyond or transcendental wisdom means we going beyond or rising and seizing that contradicted words and the being non-existent and the being permanent, that kind of contradicted, and being coming and going, that kind of contradict, and being multiple and being single, these contradicted. So words, then it's a kind of transcendent wisdom, or then with these we've gone beyond of the four ages or two extreme views. And that means, if you didn't use thesis, doesn't mean they are not, they are not exist. Seeds or seeds doesn't mean they are not exist. And if you see things are rising, doesn't mean they are solid reality or there is something existence. So these are great understanding. So one Yuma master, Longchenpa, great kind of teacher of Sutrayana and Vajrayana too, both And he said, if you use an ordinary kind of perceptions or too like extreme kind of mind to look at the phenomenon, are kind of wrong, or that is so laughable. He's laughing at first. He said, haha. Analyze in that way is if laughable. And, emptiness, with the appearances, it's like, what the sutra, Heart Sutra said, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Form is not other than emptiness. Emptiness is not other than form. Well, normally we say form and emptiness is contradicted kind of things. It's kind of not only one or another, but it's kind of spontaneously arises or spontaneously union of those two aspects. So this is said, no fundamental nature, but appearance like in all kinds appearances, everything appearances. And all appearances in same time is emptiness. So then it's said, one person if you anything appears to us very vivid and real and impossible to think that these are fossil or it's a baseless kind of a you can say that you can call from causal level you can find, but if more go further more from then nothing really you can kind of get or based you pinpoint anything as a solid existence, then these appearances lacking of intrinsic existence, but same time they spontaneously appear all of these phenomena, every aspect of phenomena. It's like dream clearly come to your mind and image, sound, and any all of actions and dialogues that, but from kind of fossil image, we don't really care much. Like us, these are kind of characters and like dramas put together and create something image or some kind of karmic images. Then after these, doing that, and in the beginning, though, and the rising and the end of season, and all the time, three of times, not beyond of emptiness. And sutra, wise and foolish sutra in that said, sentient beings are like dream, and the actions or karma of sentient beings also like that. It's like dream, an illusion. And also said, if you, anything solid phenomenon, if you go deep down to the roots, like you are trying to peeling off the banana trees, you cannot get anything solid things. All of these leaves out of the leaves, then it's gone. Mula Madhyamika Karika, the ornament of the Madhyamika, the middle way of approach, middle way. And this also said similar kind of a statement. And the other one sutra is Dharma view of non-regression sutra. In that, it said, all phenomena are like illusion, Weakening or that is also same. Buddhi or that enlightenment also same. That because why you say this in Dhamma, the Heart Sutra also said there is no attainment. That is similar means. And normally we have a kind of a very colorful attainment and everything should be kind of shining and all this. That is one aspect of the quality of the form or merit or manifestation part. But here, wisdom part that we are pinpointing is then beyond of any phenomenon, no, it doesn't matter ordinary phenomenon or even Buddhahood, is gone beyond of a conceptual kind of a understanding. And no, as a normal human being, we should know there's so many descriptions about Buddha's quality and his steps of achieving Buddhahood and everything. But in essential kind of teaching, you should understand the Shunyata. Otherwise, there is no Buddhahood you can attain. As long as you achieve nothing, there is completely nothing you can see or you can touch in this. Normally we say, oh, we're going to heaven and there is a color for life and every enjoyment and like that. These are, it's kind of a still rough and gross level of still in appearance. And then if you go further kind of a deep wisdom, then these go more subtle life, subtle form of a mind, subtle consciousness of these, then eventually you should all-knowing qualities, these are saying, using these words, it's for describing the beyond of all kind of limitations. And nothing you can clean in on is a great kind of a great achievement or accomplishment. We are completely eliminate all ignorance of this aspect of see things have a real nature, real existence. These some people say, oh, when I get into there, or when I reach, or when I something kind of had, if you have a reward, you have a kind of a graduation ceremony. If you gain money or fame or something, you gain. But it's enlightenment path. It's not only something gain, but it's you are get rid of or ignorance, and you are kind of simply out of illusion. So in that use of the terms of these, it's a kind of existent conceptual elaboration is there. It's something, limitations. And then sutra, the ornament of clear realization. There's a state here. And then in front of, or after, or, because it's said, if you think you from ordinary people, you become Buddha, you gain something. But actually, it's you ordinary beings have the Buddha nature, or capable to wake, or capable to things. They can already in you. So you are. This is just a kind of a. Emerge or manifest, or you can embrace or something from you already have, not something you don't have. And then you, when you gain some realization, then you suddenly kind of get from outside or something like that. So it's a, that's why I said a great equanimity. It's a Buddha and sentient beings have a, in a common or in a great equanimity. They are all Buddhas in present and awakened great this achievement have a many, all from the previous life in the past, in the, fundamentally they are once in a normal sentient beings and suffered a lot. These, every said Buddha have a, went to kind of unfortunate realms many times and came to the totally free from afflictions. And also same, all ordinary beings, nowadays you can see oh, so many ignorance, so many difficulties, and but they have a possess same kind of potential and the qualities. So from that, you also, if once a person who understanding this, immediately this, once you awaken, your own perception is not ordinary perception anymore. Not, nothing changes outside, nothing, but once you kind of, realize, then, everything, kind of manifestations and appearance, the perception all kind of transforms, and that you can understand this nature and appearance in same time. I think we're going to almost stop here, but we're going to give in one, two more, further, a little bit more. And then for this, how do you use these? If once you understand the emptiness, what is the kind of meaning or importance? Wandering beings does resemble dreams, and so also the banana tree. If you examine well, in ultimate reality, there is no distinguishing between the states of sorrow and beyond of all sorrow. And then is that with the things that in this way are empty, what is there for, there, what is there to gain and what to lose? Who is there to pay me court and honors? And who is there to scorn and revile me? So once, what is this meaning? It all, why we want to avoid too extreme view? And why you need to understand of emptiness, because once you gone beyond, then of course, if you say, oh, I don't believe of anything except than direct experience or something, and then you may avoid some trouble, but you have some other troubles. So human mind are very smart. Once for some people, when they are dying, they need something important, support from God or super beings or any like human beings, or people who have a warm, lovely kind of attitude. For some people, if they are done something bad or done the wish, there is nothing cause and the result and the causality karma following him or her, and then thinking, I'd rather just believe something I wish to believe, and according to my situation and something, these are not the reason is not important anymore. It's something preconceptions, consumption, pre kind of a condition or something decide or make you wishfully kind of towards something you wanted to believe. And the reason and the belief, it's reason is kind of important, but many people turn back to the reason and then something clinging towards their own wishful thinking for these. But here, these are understandable as a human condition. But here is important to go beyond of too extreme. Then you will kind of tackle to the grasping self kind of ego, and these extreme eternalism may not completely kind of tame your mind. For example, you say, oh, God is great, that is taming me. God is only truth. But in this, there is a limitation, because you're still holding the this world is real and everything, God is real, or something you can submit to God and then do some certain practice, and you think these will accept any condition and every kind of situation by kind of surrender, totally surrender to the God. This is one kind of solution. Sometimes it's effective, but for sometimes it's a people mind may doubt is there is a God or something problem happens. And nihilism also, as we said, if there is a karma or something, these happens. So, but for if you don't think of this strongly, kind of holding on your belief, then they accordingly you kind of have some transformation and change, and also get some benefit too. That is kind of even you don't believe anything of cause and the result may kind of have a sense of relief if one done bad thing. If you done very good thing, no cleaning or something, it's also. But from what is wrong for these two, from Buddhist point of view, then he said once you realize that is not the final kind of age or verge, then you have a raising the on the new dots. It's some also said in Arhat, you know, or the achievement of some, if they think this is not the final truth, then they're going to have a starting another kind of a layer of doubt or some problems. So anyway, it's here what we saying. Is once, since you understand everything is at all appearance and has a empty nature, emptiness of nature of emptiness, not empty but emptiness, empty, then it's nihilism. Opposite of empty is eternalism. So we've gone beyond of those two narrative. And narrow mind kind of a too extreme. then we see things as a just like a dream. They have a certain truth in relative, but ultimately they are kind of a illusion. So illusion has some karmic connection between, or causality is involving in the relative world. So then this is a very good to tackle emotions and grasping to any true realness and clinging towards any existence, any whether it's a kind of frame of and the hate or power or anything like that. They have a much easier to deal with their own emotion, and also when gone, any trouble happens, they can kind of forgive, and also like you can there is an English word I couldn't remember. It's letting go. it's they're always using this letting go. It's a kind of practice of renunciation, and these have a solid reason, because all emotional grasping has a no solid reason. But if you go and letting go have a many reasons, because everything like dream. So then this is a benefit towards self and others, since you realize you have a realization or you studying with the emptiness, shunyata, interdependent arising. And then you kind of, this is the benefit. We're going to easily, not relatively easily, according to your own practice and effort, but again, beyond the eight-worldly dharma, it's a kind of a happy to gain, difficult to lose, and always want to kind of happy mood and don't want to counter kind of with a sad emotions, and always wanted to have a tension from surrounding, like a child, if they do not have a give them enough attention, then they do bad things, or maybe not necessarily bad, but it's kind of become uncomfortable. And praising in front and not criticize, and also important not to the say something negative in their back, and also nice things. So these limitations we have in eight worldly dharma, then we can become fragile and emotionally dependent kind of on others' activities and then others' words and mood. We are easily harmed by others. So if you say go beyond the worldly dharma, then it's a great kind of independent, greater freedom. You are not dependent on something gain or lose. You will have a great emotional impact on the also so-called temporary happiness, and said, well, you can kind of have a more vast, have a sky inside your view, or you have a better kind of a balance. You have a more understanding, more space and love towards all sentient beings. Like Earth can kind of support all living beings, they're not criticizing or they're picking one or two, throwing others or something like that. So it's important. So that's who is pain and court and honor. And this is, those are scorn and rebel. Gain and loss, these are eight worldly dharma. And next is pleasure, sorrow, and whence do these rise? What is there to give me a joy and a pain? And if I search, there's suchness. Who is the craving? What is the craved? If you look down more to the deep of these kind of existence, then you will see there's a, as we said, selflessness of a human being or people, of a selflessness of these characters, and the selflessness of phenomena. From these two shunyata, it's the kind of usually we use for shunyata for selflessness of phenomena, and then selflessness of self is very different from the Atma theory, Nananama, is selflessness of characters. And then also born and death, also same contradictory kind of a theory. Living is dying, or born and you think without the born there is no death, but without death there is no born. So it is, if we have so many our kind of constructed knowledge and understanding of these phenomena, also same time if you have an essential kind of understanding, wisdom of transcendental wisdom, we are not saying we after we learn the math we kind of gain transcendental wisdom. There's nothing transcendental wisdom there. If you say, oh, I learn new language, then there's maybe small scale of transcendental wisdom in every field, but it's not kind of a real suffering behind, or it's a how to know the reality of all kind of self, the nature of phenomenon, these. So then we are many habituation starting to crumble and collapse, and easily demolished by effort of cultivation. Self, ego, and many things used to difficult, but now at least you understand there is a way, there is a, no, this is possible, and then doing that is kind of a two part of a practice, and then learning, hearing, contemplation and the practice these. And then we're going to stop here today. Many problems of this world is from the lacking of a thorough understanding of a phenomena. And then also said, if you have a great understanding of emptiness, then you can have a natural rise of compassion due to see meaningless or the many negative deeds are not necessary, and also human beings have a misunderstanding their identity, then struggle for that identity. And there's so many religious problem also there. Some people say if you're killing non-believers or other believers, then you can go to heaven and have a more worldly enjoyment there. And some people not thinking about anything, they have a scared and they have a maybe strong belief or something, they do bad things like that. So these are, I think, safe, can fundamentally, like economic wars and also many people frustration, had built up frustration and then and have a difficult to deal with their own ego. And then this emptiness, it's a great medicine for those. Now we are here. Dedication, dedication, prayers. As the courageous Manjushri understood, and just like Shamadha Bhadra as well, I now dedicate all this ritual, following their example, one and all. Since dedication has been praised as a spring, by all the victorious ones throughout three times. All of the fundamental virtues I have, I fully dedicate to practicing discipline. By this merit, may all attain omniscience and defeat the enemy wrongdoing. From stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness and death, from ocean of existence, may all beings be free. This, by this virtue, may all beings complete the collections of merit and wisdom, and attain to sacred kayas that arises from merit and wisdom. Through this goodness, may omniscience be attained, and thereby may every enemy, mental, mental defilement be overcome. May beings be liberated from ocean of samsara, which is troubled by waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death. Thank you very much.